and a Holy Spirit. And I thank Him for that. I do appreciate this place. I thank God for the gospel in it and the gospel that goes out of it through all those missionaries, preachers, and evangelists that you support. Just of late, we've been blessed to be in several meetings where some folks have gotten saved and had some age on them. Of course, I like it when anybody gets saved. But when that happens, I always think of you, and I think of the investment that you won't know about until you get to heaven. It's laid up to your account. But that's the reason why the Lord's blessing you here is because you're busy blessing folks there that are serving the Lord. And around the globe, when you're asleep, somebody's telling the story and you're helping them do it. And I appreciate our pastor and how the Lord uses him mightily here. And I must say, as I travel, I get the same question. And I am proud to say that I am a part of this church and have been so 11 years. And I'm so grateful. Of course, Brother Ken says that I'm the most unfaithful member that you have. And I am, but I assure you I'm doing what I'm called to do when I'm gone. I'm preaching the gospel. And I thank him. And I also want to say thank you to Brother Ken for having my nephew. I got to come the other Sunday night while Jackie preached. And man, you're talking about a highlight of his life. He couldn't have been more proud than if the president-elect had asked him to come and preach the inaugural address. He'll never get over that. And I thought he did a good job. I heard him on Sunday night. And so I praise the Lord for that. Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to a familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter number 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Let's just go ahead and read the text, and I'll say a few preliminary remarks and preach a little bit. Verse 11 said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly and the husks with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be Mary. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You can be seated. Now, I don't know fully how I'm going to do this morning, but I'm excited about trying. I want to preach on the prodigal son and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Did you notice in our text that in verse number 23, the father said, Now, what we're going to do is we're going to set this thing up and we're going to have Mary. And verse number 24, the Bible said they began to be Mary. And then the scripture tells us in verse number 29 that the elder brother is upset because they're Mary. But the father settles it all in verse 32. He said, Well, man, we got cause to be merry. Now somehow in my mind, I'm thinking that if they had celebrated the birth of Christ during the prodigal son's day in this text, he wouldn't have said happy holiday. Now, I can't imagine the prodigal son after he got back home going around saying happy holiday. You don't go through what he went through and say happy holiday. Matter of fact, turn to somebody right now and say Merry Christmas. I believe that if the prodigal son had celebrated the birth of Christ, that he'd have looked at you emphatically and said Merry Christmas. He said, What are they doing in there? He said, They're making merry. The word merry means to be elevated in spirit. It means to be full. I mean, he's overflowing. And if you're overflowing, you don't say happy holiday. No, no, no. You say Merry Christmas. That's what I feel like saying this morning. Merry Christmas. Why? Because he's done some things in my heart that's above a happy holiday. It's a Merry Christmas. Woo! Lord, that ought to be enough right there. Huh? Now, there's always some folks against the Merry Christmas. He, the elder brother, was. He said, Well, you know that? What are you having a Merry Christmas? What are you talking about married for? Well, if you've never been where the prodigal son has been, you can get by with a happy holiday. If you've never been forgiven and you've never been found, you've never been favored, you ain't full, happy holiday to you any day. Well, if you've got all of that, it's Merry. Did you notice in verse 23 it said Mary? Verse 24, it said Mary. Verse 29, it said Mary. Verse 33, it said Mary. It gives us the legal right in Christ to be married. And to say, Merry Christmas. I'm telling you, if you'd have been in there, the prodigal son would run you over to hug you and say, Merry Christmas. I'm glad I got something to be merry about, aren't you? But thank God it's not just on this season, but we got something to be merry about every day. Every day. Now I want us to notice the process to where he got to a merry Christmas. I just want to lay out a few principles and then we'll sew it up with this thought of Mary. A few principles that we find as far as the prodigal son is concerned. I just want to let you jot them down in your mind and in your memory. When we pick up with the prodigal son, long before he gets to Mary, he's got his sights set on a far country. And the scripture tells us in verse 13, he journeyed into a far country. Now, as I pondered that in this first step, I want to emphasize to you that the far country is closer than what you think. A lot of folks think that the prodigal son lost all that he had while he's in the far country. I want to suggest to you, he lost it all while he was standing in his father's living room. He lost it all because he was consumed with a spirit of discontentment. He wasn't satisfied at home anymore. He wasn't appreciative anymore. You can tell by his spirit when he said to the Father, divide unto me the portions that belong unto me, that he had the spirit of entitlement that's being promoted in America today. And if you ever get to where you think you deserve anything, you ain't going to have a Merry Christmas. Because you ain't going to get everything you think you deserve. You'd be lucky to have a happy holiday with that spirit. Honey, you just get downright spoiled and no good. But I noticed this didn't start in the far country. It started at the house. It started at the home. It started where there was love. It started where there was security. It started where there was plenty. It started where there was everything. And it was here in this place that he found himself already in a far country. Can I say to you Baptists here this morning, that if you're going to venture away from God Almighty, right here is where it starts. Right here where the Word of God is preached, the songs of Zion are sung, is where you get in your heart somehow this feeling of a far country to the spirit of discontentment and grumbling and complaining. You say, well, where did that come from? Well, that's human nature. It just somehow is bent in that direction. But I believe he got a little help at the house because I've been listening to that elder brother talk and that's what got in him, I'm sure. Did you hear what the elder brother said to his daddy? He'd been feeling that all along, hadn't got over it. And I can see him and the boy out there walking. He's working. He said, you know, Dad ain't paid us nothing. He's holding it all himself. Now realize that everything he eats comes from the dad. I mean, the house he lives in comes from the dad. Everything he is belongs to the dad, but he's a grumbling about it. I mean, here we are having to serve. I'm getting tired of listening to the old man tell me what to do. How about you? Yet he don't have the guts to go to the far country, but he's putting that spirit into somebody else, honey. Watch out with your attitude. You'll end up sending somebody else where you don't know. In the far country, where the best that they can do over there is happy holiday. No wonder, because that's the spirit of discontentment. I'd be surprised if anything else came out of the White House but happy holiday. Huh? I'm here to tell you the far country is never far away. It's right here. It's in the heart. It's when you begin, I tell you, to look in the distance. When you begin to become discontented, as I say to you. When you become, you come to the place where you feel like that life owes you something. That's the principle. If you go to the far country, you leave from right here. Are you hearing me? You'll leave from this blessed place. You'll leave from a good home. You'll leave with a good wife. You'll leave having had a good husband. You'll leave having had a good father, a good mama. You'll leave all this because this is where it starts. That's my first principle. Now, my second principle is this. Once you get into the far country, now I'm gonna get to the Merry Christmas. I'm gonna tie it in here somehow. Once you get to that far country where there is no Merry Christmas, where you're lucky to get a happy holiday. And I imagine in and out of those places where he went, maybe they might have squeezed out a happy holiday. But I wouldn't know Merry Christmas. But here's the thing that I want you to notice about the prodigal son and this matter of going off into the far country is that not only is it never far away, it's right here. It's on the inside where it begins. But once you get there, there's no way back. Have you noticed that? There is no way out of the far country. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying you can't, and this will apply to all of us who have are parents, and perhaps maybe as you have been, Esther and I, maybe you've got some children in the far country. I'm going to tell you something. You can't preach them out. That's the reason why they went there. They got tired of listening to you preach. I tell you something else. You not only cannot preach them out, you can't pull them out. They won't pull. They know tractors going to pull them out of there. You can't push them out. But I'll tell you one thing that most parents try to do and are guilty of is they try to pay them out. They get them little letters from the far country. Well, there ain't no Merry Christmas saying times are hard and I get on bad luck and Dad, I need a little money. But I don't find anywhere it's implied in this text that Dad ever sent a penny to the far country. And I'm going to tell you something. If what's going on in America today had been happening, I'm going to tell you, if they had been funding all of the actions of the wickedness of the prodigal son in that day, he'd have never got out. You ain't going to get anybody out of the far country by trying to send something into the far country. It won't work. Once he's in this far country, I'm going to tell you, he's locked up in there and money ain't going to bring him out. You say, well, what's going to get him? What in the world? What's the hope of ever getting the prodigal son to a place to where he can have a Merry Christmas? I tell you, he has to come out broke, and he has to come out broken. The only solution to anybody in the far country, it's the same for you, and it's the same for me, and everybody else we know, you've got to let them go all the way to the bottom, all the way to the hog pen. You've got to let them roll around in the swine until they get sick and tired of it, of themselves, and thank God they're broke and broken. Broke and broken. And that's where he was. But honey, there was nothing anybody could do to get him out. He couldn't even get himself out. Until he got broke and he got broken. So I say to you that in this process here, we notice that the far country is never far away. It's closer than you think. But once you get there, there's just really no way out. There's no programs in that place that will fund you to get back home. All the programs are funded to keep you there. I wish this world could understand
But what politics is all about is giving you just enough to get your vote. But to do so, they got to keep you where you're at so you'll come back to them the next time. And here this prodigal son here is in this far country. But there's no signs in the far country that says home is this way. There's nothing down there. You're not going to read anything in the newspaper about going back home. There's not going to be anything in the advertisements that will entice you to head back home, honey. There's nothing in that direction. Why? They want to hold you there. Once you're in the far country, honey, they'll lock you in to that far country. And you won't have no Merry Christmas. Read about it. Read about it while he's there. Oh, he might have had a happy holiday or two, but he had no Merry Christmas because there was nothing, nothing, nothing in the far country to be merry about. You say, how you know? I've been there. I've been in that place. You've been in that place. You've known people in that place that the only thing that would elevate your spirit was something artificial or something of a physical matter. But you couldn't have no Merry Christmas out of that either. You was more miserable when you woke up than what you was when you went to sleep. And I watched that. So what did I say? The far country's never far away, but once you get there, there's just no signs, no way out. They ain't going to help you out, and they ain't going to point you out. But I want to say to you, on this road to a Merry Christmas, the third thing I would say to you is thank God that somebody in the far country that was also at the Father's house that can make a difference. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, yes, when we preach about the far country, we talk about it rightfully so. The sin that is in the far country. The evil that is in the far country. The wickedness that is in the far country. And the vices that are in the far country. They's just nothing good, humanly speaking, as far as the far country is concerned. But I'm glad to report to you that God not only works at the house, but He works in the far country. Now, while you can't go get that boy out, I'm here to tell you, David said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost, behold, thou art there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There ain't no place where God can't go and where He ain't already at. And the only consolation that you and I can ever have that there'll ever be another Merry Christmas in this boy's life is that God is there working in seen and unseen ways. I believe it was God. The Bible tells us about this famine that was there. It was a mighty famine. Well, who is it that controls the weather? Who is it that turns the rain off and turns it back on? We know that it was God. Now, by nature, He's designed to where He's going to waste everything in and of Himself. But God comes down there and hurries the matter up when He begins to turn the water off and the poor old boy can't even get a job and there's famine, a mighty famine in the land. I believe those friends that He's got, God's even working through them. The Bible said, I mean, they're awful friendly to Him when He's got a lot, but when He ain't got nothing, no man, the Bible said, gave to Him. All His friends forsook Him when it came to the far country. Why? He wasn't having no Merry Christmas, and they wouldn't have no Merry Christmas either. When it's all over with, as far as this world's concerned, it's all going to hell, and there ain't no Merry Christmas there, no way. Woo! I feel like preaching. But God's there. Boy, I'm glad God is in those places where we can't go, setting up things that we can't set up, turning and working as far as this prodigal son is concerned to send him back to a place to where he once again could say, Merry Christmas! Hallelujah! God! God, I'm going to tell you, has gone off into the far country. God has met him there in the far country. God has worked through his friends. God has worked through the famine. God has worked through the lacking of food. God has even worked through his feelings as he sits there and talks to himself. I like it when folks who are in the far country find out there's a God there. Now business is picking up when they run headlong into God in the far country. Now we've already marked it down that they'll never have another Merry Christmas. They'll never get out of the far country, and they won't left to themselves. But I've got good news for you. God's able to get out there where all them prodigals are and set them up to where they can have a head-on collision with him that will send them back into the house, send them back to the Father's house. God is in. Did I tell you? Did I tell you? How many of you here tonight, raise your hand and say, preacher, I've got a son or a daughter in the far country. Raise your hand. Look at that. Well, I've got a good report for you. Don't send no money that way. And Lord help, don't you get out there and wallow around in it. And ain't no way you can tell. Don't sit around and mumble grumble about it and talk about, I mean, all he's doing is feeding the hogs. Well, all he's doing is running wild women. Well, all he's doing is spending his money. Well, I don't know what he's doing out there. I tell you, it's all so bad. Now, we spend all our time talking about that, but that don't say it solve anything, and it'll keep you from having a Merry Christmas. Prodigal son will keep you from having a Merry Christmas. What you need to say is, God, I know you're out there, and that boy I'm giving to you, and I'm going to trust you to do what I can't do. Point him toward the house. No matter what it takes. Them hunger pains. That loneliness, he's sitting down there all by himself. He can't even throw a decent party now. But he's right where God can get a hold of him. But now here's my last thought. You know, the far country's not far away. Once you get there, as far as you're concerned, you can't get out. But God's there. God's there. But here's my last thought, this principle of the far country. Getting back to where you have a Merry Christmas. How do you know when somebody's done with the far country? How do you know they're just not pulling your leg? Haven't we seen that so many times? I'm going to tell you how you'll know. Two ways. It's in our text that you can know that somebody's headed toward a Merry Christmas. Out of that old happy holiday, and they can't even say that now. I'm going to tell you. First of all, listen to them talk. Man, I'm going to tell you, when you listen to this old boy talk in the end, it's a world different, Brother David, than it was in the beginning. He stood with his chest out. I'm going to tell you, his teeth gritting in the face of his father. And he said, "You give me what belongs to me." Well, he got what belonged to him. Did you find out where he's at in the prodigal son? In the far off country. He got exactly what belonged to him. Say what? Nothing. It was all taken away from him. But I'll tell you, when he come back to the house, he started talking. When he left, he wanted everything, ended up with nothing. When he came back, he wanted nothing, and ended up whatever I find. He said, "Daddy, I never thought I'd ever be married again. I never thought I'd ever be able to stay married again. It's been a long time since I've even said happy holiday. I said, my mom, I'm a coming back. I don't want nothing." And the daddy said, "Oh boy, I'm going to give you everything." And I'm going to tell you, when they come to you and they say, "Well, you know, Mom, Dad, I just had a bad break down there. It's some of them fellas I got hooked up with. If I'd have made that right deal, I'd have been all right. He ain't out of the far country." When he's blaming everybody else and excusing himself and defending himself, he ain't out of the far country. You know he's out of the far country. When you don't have to preach to him, he'll come back and preach to you. He comes back a preaching. He said, "Daddy, I'm a low-down sinner. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you." Said, "Oh boy, I'm no wonder Dad run out there. Dad loves Merry Christmas. And when he's running out there, he knows him and the boys fixing to have another Merry Christmas, boy. That makes sense to me."
He wanted everything. Ended up with nothing. I just come up with that. Come back with nothing. Got everything. You know why? What the difference is? It's right here. Right here. You know how you can know? By his talking. But I'm going to tell you something else. Another way you can know that he's done with happy holidays and that old far off country is by his walking. Huh? But he ain't hanging around. He ain't going to sit there and negotiate. The Bible said he got up and he headed back. I like what one old mountain fella said. He said, "You know how I know that I ain't going to hell?" I said, "How?" He said, "I ain't heading in that direction." I want to tell you, I'm glad the prodigal son, somebody said, "Where's he at? I thought I heard that boy. I thought he was down here. I thought he was feeding the..." Where'd he go? They said, "I don't know. He headed that way. He headed back where he come from. He went back. I heard him mumbling something about sin. And some about the Father. And something about heaven. Say, they're headed that way, honey." You know when somebody's through, when it's a world, when they start a walking in the right direction. And they got back to the house. Woo! And that's where all the Mary started. Huh? Oh, listen, I'm not saying as a child of God you're not going to have some dark days and trouble sometimes. Yes, you are. But I'm here to tell you, I've been saved 47 years, and it's been 47 years of making merry. You know why? You know why that the prodigal son can make merry? You know why you can make merry? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Father set it up. He's the one that said it. He said, "Y'all get in there, and what I want you to do, not have a happy holiday. I don't want none of that. I want you to be elevated in spirit and have a merry Christmas." Man, he's got a Father that loves him, a Father that embraces him. Why not be merry? I tell you something else, he's been found. He said, "My son was lost. He's been found." Honey, if you've been found, you can have a merry time. I tell you something else. He's been forgiven. Heaven's forgiven. His Father's forgiven. He's forgiven himself. And he can have merry. Now, if you ain't been forgiven, and you ain't been found, and you ain't got a Father, honey, you can't have a Merry Christmas. The best you can do is happy holiday. Woo! Huh? I'll tell you something else. He's been set free. Woo! Those bonds of sin and chains of sin have been broken. And I'll tell you another reason why he's having a merry... Same reason you can have a Merry Christmas. You got a Father. You've been found. You've been set free. Thank God you're favored. They done gave him shoes, put a coat on his back, and they was a... And I'm going to tell you, he killed the fatted lamb. There's been a lamb shed for me, a lamb slain for me. That ought to make a happy Merry Christmas. But I'll say, this is not close. He can't help it. Because he's full. That's what the word Mary means, he's full. Huh? And you get full, you just can't help it. Huh? You ain't going to say, "Happy holiday, David." No, if you're full, woo! Merry Christmas, man! Ain't the Lord good? Ain't you glad you're saved? Ain't you glad you're going to heaven? Ain't you glad you're born again? Ain't you glad you
showed you favor and forgave you? Aren't you glad He set it up? Ain't you glad you got a Heavenly Father? Now notice that this story ain't about changing the far country. It ain't about changing the far country. It's about changing the prodigal son in the far country. He ain't going to change your world. What He wants to do is change you. Which means this whole world will never have a real Merry Christmas. So don't get mad when they say Happy Holidays. That's the best they can do. They're straining to do that. But I'm here to tell you, if you've got a Father, you've been forgiven, you've been set free, you've been favored, and you're full. Merry Christmas! Did I tell you what I was preaching on? The prodigal son and a Mary. Christmas. Aren't you glad we can have a Mary? Because Christ made it possible. Now turn to somebody and say, Merry Christmas. Well, that ain't emphatic enough. I want to hear a Merry Christmas. Ha 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 ha. Woo! And that's why I believe if you'd have run into the prodigal son, I'm going to tell you at the house that day, he'd have been hollering it up. Merry Christmas! I'm going to say, well, what's he all excited about? Well, he just got home. He just got found. He just got set free. Now he's full. He's got a father, a prodigal son, and a Merry Christmas to you. Come here, preacher. I'm done. Merry Christmas.